This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, we have a decision on the second of two court gatherings downtown today. 7:45, the judge ruled in favor of Rusty Harden, eliminating the anonymity. That was for one accuser. 12 accusers were the topic from 11 a.m. to noon. We heard Rusty Harden's case. We heard Tony Busby's case. Tony Busby did say that he'd already spoken with nine of the women and they were willing to put their name out there. Did not know about the other three. Wanted some more time. Rusty Harden's original motion was for 2 days. Busby was asking for five. And we have a ruling. We'll go downtown, talk to Brandon Scott shortly, get his takeaway from what just went down. But the ruling, courtesy of Judge Collier, is what, John?
Well, Judge Collier ordered that three of the 12 plaintiffs refile their lawsuits against Deshaun Watson with their names attached. The nine others had already agreed to do so, and obviously the judge made a similar ruling this morning. I was fascinated by I mentioned it at 10 a.m. when we got on the air, the theater and the drama involved. One thing we've talked about, Landry, is Tony Busby knew this was probably going to be the result. He tried. He was pulling cases out from everywhere, trying to justify keeping some of these names private. So what he did, especially after this morning's ruling, when it was obvious, you know, the law is very clear that these names have to be released, they maybe did it themselves, but nine of the 12 women said, to use Tony Busby's word, they felt emboldened by the ruling today and said, you know what, we'll go out front of this, we'll put our names to it. So they're going to amend these filings. It's going to be three, and now those three, the judge ordered in favor of Rusty Harden. But there's a little strategy there as well from Busby's side saying, hey, they're going to do it. They're emboldened. They feel strongly about this.
And, I mean, it's also the law that you do have to let the other side know who the accusers are. It's not necessary. It doesn't necessarily mean they have to be public. So Mike Meltzer's been telling us this for a long time. It's really basically saying that because it is the law. I just actually got a text from Attorney Sam on that.
So no, I know, but what I'm saying is that's the strategy. That was his strategy to kind of craft it, Busby, because he knew it was coming anyway, so he did it this way.
So earlier today, 7:45, the judge ruled in favor of Rusty Harden. Really no surprise there, but the one thing that I think that is clear now is the spectacle that's been going on and everything that's been going on. I think it's kind of behind. I don't know if it's behind us because this is one of the most riveting court cases that we had in this city in a long time, especially when it comes to incorporating big name attorneys in sports. But I think the Instagram post, the press conferences, all that, I think those are at least put on hold. I think there's going to be a press conference from Rusty Harden. I think it's going to be more so just addressing what happened in the courtroom, answering some questions. That's going to be at 2:00 at the Hilton of Americas. I think we're going to have some boots on the ground there as well. We'll talk to Brandon Scott very shortly, who was downtown covering all this stuff. Rusty Harden, by the way, in attendance. Tony Busby was via Zoom. That was how he was attending this.
You know, we've all been in the position where something happens and you're like, well, I kind of wanted to do that anyway. I think that's the strategy Busby's using with these nine women. They all ultimately were going to have to be revealed anyway. Rusty Harden was going to win this. And so it's chess, man. These are two heavyweights. And they're saying, okay, what can I do to sort of sway things in my direction? I think what we are going to see now is either a statement or statements or some sort of another press conference from Tony Busby with at least these nine women or some of these nine women stating that case. We didn't need the filing. We didn't need the ruling. We wanted to do this.
Right. I mean, it's really just strategy. Yeah. And Busby put this off as long as he could, and now it looks like Rusty Harden, Deshaun Watson, they get their wish. They're gonna be aware, and they might have already been aware, but they're more aware now of who these women may or may not have been. I know there's been talk about deleted messages and whatnot, but that's what went down today at 7:45, as well as today at 11 o'clock, right here on Sports Radio 610. We'll talk to B. Scott in a little bit, trying to get attorney Sam to give us some insight as well. If you're just tuning in, the judge orders three of the 12 plaintiffs to refile their lawsuits against Deshaun Watson with their names attached. Nine others have already agreed to do so. So 14 of the 22 now, Deshaun Watson's team, Rusty Harden, has those names. So Rusty made it very clear, and I thought it was a nice counter by Tony Busby. Rusty made it clear that he wanted this to take place in the courtroom, not in public opinion. Tony Busby countered and said, Rusty Harden is no stranger to playing things out in the media. You look at some of his past cases, Roger Clemens, Adrian Peterson, all that stuff.
Right.
Basically saying pot meet kettle.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Is what Tony Busby was saying. But I don't think you can look at this as a loss or a win for Deshaun Watson's team. Now, it is nice that from Rusty Harden's perspective that they get these names, but that was going to happen anyways. Mike Meltzer's been telling us that for weeks. Mike Meltzer of MySPC and Mad Dog Radio has been telling us for weeks that was what was going to happen. It just basically eliminated the, for lack of a better term, stall tactics that were going on with Tony Busby when it came to kind of taking this in.
Yeah, I think this was an expected win for Deshaun Watson. It's still a win, because he now has those names. They can move forward. I said earlier, perhaps some of these 12 might say no thank you and drop their cases. That is not the case. Well, the other three filings are not official yet, so I guess it could still possible that they're going to back out. But from everything we saw from Tony Busby, they're doubling down and they're putting their name to it.
Yeah, and I mean, the case by Rusty Harden was very simple. Fairness for both
law.
The accused and the accusers. Harden mentioned his time as a plaintiff, or as a prosecutor, excuse me, and said he's tried these cases and he's very sensitive to anonymity when it comes to sexual accusers. He understands that side of things and why, according to Harden, why you want to give women anonymity so that they're not scared to come forward and so that they don't get backlash.
Yeah.
He also wanted to make it clear that while Tony Busby was presenting social media comments that the accusers were getting, Deshaun Watson's getting just as much smoke on social media. And while the accusers were able to hide behind anonymity, Rusty Harden said that he described it as Tony Busby using it as a sword, and while you're protecting their identity, you're calling Deshaun Watson a sexual predator, you're talking about him on Instagram. So he was just, the word fairness was what Tony, what Rusty Harden was presenting when it came to this type of situation.
Yes, and another question that has been brought up on Twitter and on the text line is, why are we only adding up to 13 when there were 22 accusers? There are more hearings coming. It's going to add up to 22 eventually. And I'm fascinated to see, of those remaining nine, are they going to all of a sudden, as Busby put it, and be emboldened to say, don't even bother, we'll put our names to it.
Yeah, and then you got to wonder if maybe this just speeds up the process to where Tony Busby and Rusty Harden, they talk. You can tell they respect each other.
They were kidding around. People didn't hear it, but before the Zoom call, they were kind of kidding around.
They were going back and forth, joking, calling each other Mr. Miss, and you heard the respect from the judge. So as much as the theatrics play out and as much as a statement will call Tony Busby classless courtesy of Rusty Harden, and then Busby will say what he says, there is some respect there in the dialogue. I mean, you heard Rusty Harden himself say earlier on, you'll hear from them again. We'll take you through the best of in both cases, the 7:45 as well as the one. We got you covered on the press conference too, right here on Sports Radio 610. But you heard Rusty Harden talk about texting Tony Busby. So it's not like these guys, this is intense. This is competition. They're both trying to represent their clients to the fullest. But mm-hmm. when it comes to respect, when it comes to dialogue, when it comes to being able to communicate immediately via text, not necessarily having to go down the email chain, that right. line of communication is there. And these guys, it does seem like at the very least, they're on the same page. Yes. And I think Rusty Harden's kind of getting his wish right now. Now, he is having a press conference at 2 o'clock, so we'll mm-hmm. see. But he is getting his wish right now that this can kind of transition from Instagram, Facebook, et cetera, to the courtroom.
I think both Rusty Harden and Tony Busby know how this is going to end already. I think they both do. They've been around the block enough time.
And I think you and I have as well.
Exactly. They know what the ending is. They're just trying to make it as easy on their side as possible or beneficial for their side as possible. This is going to be a settlement. They both know it. And so they're strategizing, for lack of a better way to put it. And so how does it affect Deshaun Watson? I mean, you know, that's ultimately what it's going to be. I think the other part of the win here for Deshaun Watson is these wheels are going to be turning a lot quicker now. I think, you know, settlements are going to happen quick now, you know, because Rusty Harden clearly wanted to put pressure on the plaintiffs. Hey, if you don't start talking settlement and do things a little more beneficial for my client, we're going to put your names out there. Busby responds with, they don't care. They're going to put their names out there. It's a negotiation yeah. in a courtroom is what this is.
It's a chess battle. I mean, it's back and yeah. forth. It's like a tennis match. Backhand, forehand,
right.
all that, hold serve.
But Deshaun Watson still wins a little bit because it's happening fast. So yeah. he'll find out his future quicker.
I think it's almost like a tennis match, and I think at the very least you can say that Rusty Harden and Deshaun Watson's defense, they kind of held serve today. Yes. They held serve. They got what they went to the court to get. I don't think that's a surprise to many, including Tony Busby. However, it is interesting that Tony Busby, even with this and even with this known, there is just kind of like some like strategy, and he doesn't mind poking the bear where you got the original motion was you got to put these names out there in 2 days, and Tony Busby saying, well, let's make it five.
Yeah.
And the weekend doesn't count. So really,
Busby
you're giving me three
for the
if
weekend,
it's Wednesday.
Obviously, right? He's like, wait, hey, it's Friday.
He's got to go to the ranch with Governor Goodhair.
I'm going
to
knock off early and go fishing.
This is ridiculous. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. A lot going on downtown. It was riveting yesterday at the Juice Box as well. The buzz was crazy. It's one of the best regular season atmospheres that I've ever been a part of. In recent history, I'm going post Astrodome, so I know how the Love You Blue got, and I know how it got with the mm-hmm. with the Astros in the 80s. But that was one of the most riveting atmospheres in the regular season that I can remember in a long time.
I wasn't there, and I felt it.
It was amazing. The fans happy to be back. They're going to be back tonight, and it was just it was a fun time all around. There's a lot going on downtown. We'll get you up to date. We'll get you up to date with what went on because we are all simps. No, we are all not all simps. Loopholes come in many different shapes and sizes. There are some people with legal backgrounds that have a better grasp than us. But if you are a simp like myself, we'll get you up to date on what happened today downtown in the two court gatherings surrounding the Deshaun Watson legal battle. Keep it locked in the loop. Going to inform you and entertain you next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
13 women now, 13 of the 22 accusers have to submit their names to Deshaun Watson's defense. Let's just go back to how the morning started. Early rising here on Sports Radio 610. Brandon Scott was in attendance. We'll hear from him in just a sec. But before that, let's just set the scene of what happened at 7:45.
Yeah.
Can't say I've been to court at 7:45. Can't say that
no,
I've done
no
that.
Better.
First time for everything. This was Rusty Harden's request to make one of the Deshaun Watson accusers, her name, public. This was actually the judge setting the scene of what was going on. This was the judge setting the scene after Rusty Harden's motion.
I have the emergency hearing case number 2021-18047. We have Attorney Busby and Attorney Harden here arguing the emergency motion. Will be Attorney Harden. I did want to first address in your response, Attorney Busby, you did mention about notice. With this being an emergency hearing, we are still within our guidelines, but I wanted you to know that in this emergency situation, I feel went over and above to make sure that you knew that this would be taking place. You filed your document last night, your response at, I think it was 9:40. So you did respond. And we are here this morning at 7:45 a.m. in order to make sure justice is served. Mr. Roy, he did call both offices. He spoke with the Busby firm around 3:15 p.m.-ish to Cornelia. He called the Harden Law Firm around the same time, spoke with someone named Eddie. With that out of the way, you can begin.
So that's the judge setting the scene. Here's Rusty Harden's opening statement on what exactly they were there for, why he was there, and why he filed this motion in the first place.
These lawsuits have been started being filed on March 16th of this year. They have been dribbled out in twos and threes, sometimes fours at a time. They're all very similar in the sense that they have numerous salacious allegations about our client, and they repeatedly have been announced ahead of time as they're coming to the media by Mr. Busby. What he has done here is seek the anonymity of his clients while trying to kill the reputation of the public perception of our client without giving us the names of anyone. At the very beginning, I asked for their names. Mr. Busby said, no, you'll have to file your motion. We waited for 2 weeks to see if we could try to find out and the level of comfort that we could respond without having been told who they were. And it's just not possible. Our client needs to know who are his accusers. I hear Mr. Busby in his statement talking about his only intended to somehow pressure or humiliate his clients. His arguments totally ignore the way he's used the media and the public statements. We've counted up 25 Facebook posts by him about these lawsuits. He's gone on Instagram at least 14 times to it. He's had two press conferences. He has announced particular evidence to the public. He's released emails and names to private citizens whose names were not public, with his spin on it. And when he did so in a way that he deprived us of knowing. In his press conference, this is most recent one, he released evidence, actual evidence, before our answer date has even arrived. And then when we sought from his law firm to get copies of the evidence he released to the public and that he put in Dropbox for the media, we never heard from him. We've heard nothing but crickets about it, the evidence that he supposedly signed.
That was Rusty Harden. He didn't mention the Texas Constitution. He mentioned some other legal principles that made this immoral. He said morally wrong and legally wrong. Tony Busby refuted. We'll hear part two of that battle in about 10 minutes. But before we do, the judge did rule in favor there. Let's get the thoughts of Attorney Sam. Shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are one. This guy's been with us from the beginning of this whole thing. Mike Meltzer, when he joined us earlier, actually praised the job Sam's done breaking this down. Sam, your reaction to the 7:45 hearing, it was kind of more the same at 11, but just your big picture reaction to the two hearings that took place live right here on Sports Radio 610 downtown involving Deshaun Watson, Rusty Harden, and Tony Busby.
Yeah, I thought let me say both attorneys I thought did a pretty good job for what they had to work with. I mean, honestly, it was pretty straightforward with respect to what the law is and what the law allows in a civil matter. And I've seen a lot of people on social media kind of get it wrong and, you know, argue a criminal statute. Again, this is not a criminal matter. None of these matters are criminal as of yet. So I thought it was pretty straightforward. I thought, and Landry, I DM'd you. I said, well, you know, now it's convenient to say that the women agree. You know, this is something that actually could have been worked out yesterday when Rusty filed the motion. But to me, I think if Tony were to agree, he would lose a little bit of steam and a little bit of the luster that he has right now. Like I told you guys on Wednesday, man, it's best for the plaintiffs to play in the court of public opinion. It's best for the defendant Deshaun Watson and his team to play in the actual court of law, right? Because now certain things that you're allowed to do in the court of public opinion, there's really no law. There's really no rules. You can do whatever. And I thought at the 745 hearing, Rusty kind of just stayed to the four corners of the document with respect to what he filed and why he wanted it, you know, why he wanted these that name to be released and what the law was. And I thought it was pretty straightforward. But at the 11 o'clock hearing before Judge Collier, and let me say this, both judges are brilliant, brilliant ladies. Judge Davis is, she's super, super sharp. I had the pleasure of knowing her before she became a judge. Super sharp. Both of them are very well versed in the law. But I thought Rusty at the 11 o'clock did a better job of bringing up the fact that there was a lot of, and I'm using air quotes, evidence being put out there by the plaintiffs and actually was being ruled on by the court of public opinion. And it was, it is kind of unfair to the defendant, right? So I think Tony's whole purpose of even opposing this is to just, in my opinion, really to just get out the fact that, hey, these two things, the ladies are brave, and that the one lady, Ms. Solaris, is already being receiving death threats, you know, via social media. And I thought that was his whole purpose of even opposing it. Because like he said, hey, we agree. Nine of the women agree, and maybe 12 might agree, but he hadn't been able to get in touch with the other three. But I imagine he knows this ruling was not going to go in his favor. And in fact, the case law that he cited really wasn't on point, but it was just more so to put out there why, you know, they have operated the way that they have, you know, but he knew the case law wasn't on point.
Right. Attorney Sam joining us here in the loop. And that's been my whole point. I want to get your thoughts on this. Both sides of these mega attorneys, they knew how today was going to go. They, in their heart of hearts, they knew how it was going to go. They also know how this case is going to go. And you've said it yourself. There is no way this is going to court. So I thought Busby did a pretty good job of kind of changing the narrative, because he knew he was gonna lose this filing. So he said, you know what, let me change the narrative. Now they want to do it. They're emboldened. He used that word. So isn't, mm-hmm. I mean, this seems to be more of a posturing type day for Tony Busby.
Yeah, and again, you know, like you said, he's changing the narrative to say, hey, we should be praising these women for being courageous, for coming out, standing behind the claims that they're making, when before that didn't seem to be the case. I mean, and I'll say this, a lot of times when you put forth motions, you know, and you know the law is on your side, you know, you kind of have an idea of how it's going to go. There's that 2% chance where the judge just, judges are human, and although they're supposed to follow the law, sometimes they don't, and they rule on emotion as opposed to law. But I do believe that he's trying to change the narrative. And again, it's not about winning or losing this battle, right? Because this was just a battle. It's about winning the war. And the war can be different for either side. For Tony Busby's side, the war is, and let's make no mistake about it, this is purely about money. Right. That doesn't mean that they're bringing these claims because they're money hungry. And I'm definitely not saying that. But that's why you hire attorneys. Like I tell my clients that come to me, you don't hire an attorney just to get an apology. You hire an attorney to get money, because we're in the business of making the money, that making money. That's his war. Whereas the war for Deshaun Watson and Rusty Harden's team is, hey, look, we're trying to minimize as much of the damage that has been done thus far. We need to stop this and make this go away as quickly as possible. And this was a step in the right direction. So Tony is looking at it like, hey, we knew we were going to lose this battle, but let's not lose sight of the ultimate goal in winning the war.
All
the
right.
War is, we want to make sure you're being compensated.
Last thing here, Attorney Sam joining us. Who won on that front today? Or how did you read it is better, probably a more fair question. We know what was going to happen. They knew what was going to happen. Tony Busby did a little posturing. Rusty Harden did a good job of editorializing why he wanted this. But if the ultimate goal, as you just said, Sam, is about money, who's going to pay more or less in that front?
That's a tough question to answer, and I hate to be your typical lawyer. It depends on how you are looking at it. Now, as far as in the court of public opinion, Tony didn't lose a thing. Neither did his plaintiffs, right? But in the real court, yes, of course, Deshaun and Rusty Harden won, and they gained a little steam. But how does this ruling affect a financial outcome? It may affect it just a little, but I still think at the end of the day, they're going to have to settle this, and the settlement amount is going to be a pretty good size settlement amount. So I don't think this hurts Tony a bit at all. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, like he said, hey, and I don't believe this, I'm gonna just put it out there. I don't believe that, you know, he was going to agree. I believe if he were allowed to keep the names anonymous and not have to put them on a public document. Right. You know, but it's convenient to say that now because now we're trying to change the narrative. So I don't think it hurts him at all. Again, he's trying to play in the court of public opinion. Right. Now, if this were a summary judgment motion file, which you best believe Rusty Harden, now that he gets the names of these individuals and they start investigating, they start conducting discovery, and you're starting to depose people to figure things out, you best believe a summary judgment motion is going to come, which means that, hey, the judge does not find that there's a scintilla of evidence to sustain this complaint going forward, and now we must dismiss it. Now, if that happens, well, then, yeah, no, that's a huge win because now that number goes down. Okay. I don't think today's ruling made the number, whatever number Tony has in his mind for, you know, each plaintiff, all right, I don't know if that made that number go down. I don't think that motion had that type of impact.
Attorney
I
Sam,
hope that answers your question.
It does.
Oh, yeah.
There's still a lot of questions, but we don't have as much time. Sam, we appreciate you very much, man. Thank you very much for hopping in. I'm sure we'll talk to you soon.
No doubt, guys. Y'all have a good day.
It's Attorney Sam coming up. You just heard from Attorney Sam. This is the first back and forth in the courtroom between Tony Busby and Rusty Harden. So one name had lost the anonymity. There were 12 more on the line. We'll hear Tony Busby versus Rusty Harden. You do not want to miss the battle that went down downtown about 90 minutes ago. If you missed it, you're going to hear it next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Connor, may I just clarify one thing before you go?
I think I'm real clear because I've read your motion over and over and over. So if I misstated, forgive me. Go ahead, sir.
I just want your, it's the order for us to replead and disclose the young lady's names.
Within 2 days.
Okay, that's why I just want to be clear. I want to make sure I did what you wanted me to.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for always being gracious. Every time you're in my court, you and Attorney Harden, you need to give lessons on graciousness. You all are phenomenal, and it's always a pleasure to have you in court, and I look forward to litigating this matter. Again, you all are excused. Have a wonderful rest of the day and a fabulous weekend. Thank you.
You as well. Bye-bye.
All right, that was at 7:45 a.m. One of the accusers of Deshaun Watson's name was given to Rusty Harden. Again, this was going to happen. Kind of some stall tactics by Tony Busby. And there was another hearing at 11 a.m. Here is Rusty Harden laying out his case at 11 a.m. And this time, again, it was 12 names, not just one. Here's Rusty Harden with Judge Collier. You just heard Judge Davis. This is Judge Collier at 11 a.m. downtown.
When you say for 2 weeks, all of these persons and everything, hide behind the anonymity and make these accusations, call our guy a sexual predator in press conferences and suggest all those things, and then still don't tell his lawyers who they are, you end up in a result like this. So it's too late, is what my point is. So I understand the argument that making women's names public when they sue potentially holds them up to criticism from others. Of course it does. And that's unfortunate. But that does not mean the person they've accused loses his right and seek information about the legitimacy of their claim. For over 2 weeks, we tried to investigate these things privately, and we just cannot do it.
So that's Rusty Harden basically saying it's the law, and that's basically what's got to go down. Now, on the other side, you have Tony Busby who said that and says, and we're going to hear from him in a sec. Tony Busby says, well, we've given you the dates, we've given you the times, so what do you mean we haven't given you the names? That should be enough, especially when you put out statements from 18 massage therapists speaking favorably of Deshaun Watson. Now, the first judge, Judge Davis, countered that and said they could have reached out to them. That's a weird assumption to make. Again, they knew the result of this.
Well, the 18 could have.
Right.
But I jumped on that first. That really piqued my interest, the first thing you said. He gave them or offered to give them names, emails, address. They could stay anonymous, but you would have all the information you need to do all the research and all the whatever you want to do on those names. So that was the first indication where, okay, Rusty is talking seriously about settlement now. He is doing this so he can maybe embarrass them, or not embarrass them, but you know, push them toward not wanting their names out there and have to settle quicker.
And he's also mentioned it being a sword. It's basically about the rights of the accusers as well as the accused.
Correct.
That's Rusty's whole theory. But the notion that Tony Busby with dates and times is enough. This is Rusty Harden's reaction to that, and we're going to hear from Tony Busby right after this.
Separately, we shouldn't have. I saw with some interest some commentators saying, well, we should be able to figure it out. I mean, we put the date in there. So why is this such a big deal? Well, until we pass laws in this country that says the accused is supposed to guess successfully who's accusing, I would suggest that it's really so for all of these reasons, for the open records, the open courts provisions of the Constitution, for the due process rights of Mr. Watson, and for basic fundamental fairness in the whole process, we respectfully ask that he be instructed on the 12 cases in front of you to amend and tell us
who these women are, is what Rusty Harden had to say. Now, here's Tony Busby's response. You heard Rusty Harden mention the Texas Constitution. You heard him mention anonymity. You heard him mention the actual law. This was the response from Tony Busby downtown a short time ago in response to Rusty Harden's claims.
Yes, Your Honor. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for the presentation, Mr. Harden. Your Honor, Mr. Harden and I have worked cooperatively on many different cases. This case, of course, is kind of taking a life of its own. I would point out, with all due respect to my colleague, that Mr. Harden is no stranger to press coverage and is no stranger to using the press to his advantage. One need only look at how he, within 2 days, found 18 massage therapists who allegedly worked on Mr. Watson to come forward, identify themselves, and say all kinds of nice things. And that was reported widely in the press. Just as if, just like the demand letter that I sent early in the case, because Ms. Solis, who made herself known just recently, she was terrified. She was the first plaintiff. And when the case was filed, she was roundly criticized. Nobody knew who she was, but they certainly knew they hated her because lo and behold, she had sued a star quarterback. And Mr. Harden has done a very good job in the press, and I expect he will continue to do so. In fact, he leaked the fact that he was filing these motions after he asked me whether I oppose. And I would like to point this out, that when Mr. Harden texted me and said, I'm filing these motions, do you oppose? I said, I oppose your motion, but I can turn over the names of these women to you. Let's just have a protective order so they don't get their names dragged through. And I was hoping I could just say, you know what, all that is mooted because all 12 women in your court at this moment have agreed to release their names and to amend their petitions. And I was hoping I could get it done, but unfortunately, because the motion was filed and the hearing was set almost immediately. I mean, we had our first one at 7:45 this morning. In fact, an hour after that hearing, that particular individual said, I now feel emboldened. I now feel strong because of Ashley Solis and because of the other woman that has come forward. I feel strong now. I'm willing to, don't fight that, just amend it and put my name in there. And at this moment, I can tell you that 9 of the 12 women that we've been able to contact and talk to have agreed, you know what, Tony, don't fight it because we feel strong and we're willing to have our names heard now because of Ashley Solis and others that have come forward. But what I can't do is tell you that all 12 because I haven't had enough time to contact him. So as you're pondering this motion and when you decide how, you know, how you will rule, my only input is it could be that this is a moot issue, but certainly with regard to nine of the women, it is a moot issue. And I absolutely, and I think I could hear it from Mr. Hardin as well, I believe the Texas legislature has failed women who are brave enough to come forward, because if you only knew, Your Honor, I just showed you a few things. What I've done is on comments on social media, I don't read anything anymore. I just delete it all, because people are vicious, they're nasty, and you never know when somebody who's a keyboard warrior, who's very brave behind a keyboard, may decide they're going to be brave out on the street. And so with that, that's my presentation.
But for 2 weeks, this man has been attacked like that by these carefully orchestrated, leaked plaintiff's allegations, always hiding by anonymity. And I think it's legally wrong, it's morally wrong, and I respectfully ask the court to correct it, that abuse these women. And we would strongly urge people to quit doing it. It's wrong. I understand why a woman would be hurt and offended by it, but it is equally wrong to subject this man to what's said to. We need to get this thing into the courtrooms and get going. And I respectfully ask the court, whether he hears, whether his clients agree or not, it is time to get on the road with people we know so that we can look into, investigate, and find out.
One point I didn't make, and I know the court knows this, typically the way, and again, I'm not going to suggest to this court as an officer of the court that there's some statute that specifically provides for this, but I'm also going to suggest that there's no statute that specifically prohibits it. What we tried to do in a very fast way, as you know, is show the court that it's commonly, in cases like this, I mean, we just resolved one just recently, we file the case as Jane Doe, and then what we do is provide the information of the accuser to the defense counsel, and the case proceeds. And obviously we know that with the Texas open courts provision, that unless it, you know, something's sealed, which is highly unusual, that ultimately these Jane Does will have, you know, will be in open court making their case. But the best case that we could come up with in this short time frame, I think, is, and as an officer of the court, I'm not suggesting that, I mean, I was just kind of reading to you the tenor from 9 through 11, but the best case I think that is helpful is, again, I don't think I've appeared in your court, Your Honor, and the number one thing I want you to know is those cases are not the best cases for us. I wish there were better cases, but that's what we could find in a 6-hour time frame. To amending their petition, I would ask for, if you could give me 5 days to get that done, and we'll do it.
Your Honor, we ask in our motion for 2. I don't know why he needs 5 to tell us who his people are.
Well, let's say Wednesday. I just want to make, today's Friday, and I get 2 business. I guess Wednesday would be 2 days, right?
So the agreement for those are on the record, and as such, those are moot, and the court's not going to rule on that. For cause numbers 2021-16424, 2021-18074, and 2021-18794, the court grants the special exceptions. Is there anything else?
No, Your Honor, I don't think so.
All right, that's Tony Busby and Rusty Hardin, a little back and forth. Busby's trying to push it to 5. It's 2 days. He knows he's going to do it, but, you know, just trying to get what he can. But 9 have already voluntarily been willing, 9 of the 12, to give their name, and then you have 3 more who will need to do that within 2 or 5 days. By the way, Tony Busby's
got plans this weekend.
Wednesday, man. Is 5 days, by the way. It's not 2. He's just trying
I think he knew that.
He's trying to play the business day angle.
Just, okay, well then just Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah. That's a Tony Busby. It's interesting.
Again, Hill Country or something.
I think Attorney Sam put it pretty well. You know, this isn't necessarily a win or a loss. This is the law. Yeah. This is the law. You can't just sue someone blindly. There is anonymity publicly, but you can't just sue someone blindly. And the result today, not really surprising. It would have been shocking if the judge would have just said, we're not going to let, we're not going to let you have these names, Mr. Harden. Oh, you're going to have to figure it out yourself.
I mean, you're talking about changing precedent. I mean, you go into law books if you do that. So that's why they knew this was going to happen. And Busby tried to argue, well, I know it says, at one point he said, I know it says you can't do this, but it says you don't. No, he said, I know it says you have to do this, but it doesn't say you don't have to do it either. So he was just being kind of grasping at straws. But this was a win on a lot of fronts on both sides. It was a win for Deshaun Watson. I mentioned it earlier. Things are happening quicker now. He wants this thing over with. He wants to settle. He wants to move on to his next team and the rest of his life and get over this. This got that going a little quicker. It was a win for Rusty Harden, literally. I mean, he won these two filings, and maybe that was going to put some pressure on some of these plaintiffs to back out of the case, or maybe it's going to help his ultimate leverage when he's negotiating a settlement. And it was actually a win for Tony Busby, too, because it was a very shrewd and interesting move when he went ahead and realized and approached these nine women approached him that said, forget it, we don't need the filing, we're going to put our names, we feel emboldened. That is a strategic play that really now he can have a press conference with them. And they can sit there and say, we didn't need that filing. We're with Ashley Solis, et cetera, et cetera.
Out there at the Hilton of the Americas, Rusty Harden going to hold a press conference, 2 o'clock. We'll get you covered there as well on Sports Radio 610. Now, the other thing I think that Rusty Harden wanted to make clear is he's not trying to drag these accusers' name through the mud. He said, look, I understand that. The reason I'm asking for these names isn't so I can post their pictures and talk about this and that. Mm-hmm. I just want this anonymity to quit being used, as he referred to it, as a sword by Tony Busby. In right. other words, you're calling my guy a predator and all that on Instagram, and your accusers are safe right there. Mm-hmm. So we need to protect the accuser as well as the accused. Tony Busby threw out some social media messages that his clients we're getting, and Rusty Harden threw out some Deshaun Watson
thing, yeah.
social media things, which is, you know, we all know social media. And Tony Busby has said it himself. A lot of people say stuff on social media that they wouldn't normally say. So that's really kind of irrelevant in this situation. But it is a slippery slope. But the law is the law.
Yeah.
Again, Rusty Harden and Deshaun Watson, they just want to know what they're up against, and they don't want anonymity, which the spirit of the law is to protect the accused. They don't want it to be used as a sword. And that's what they got. The legal process today played out. The theatrics weren't under trial, but they were at least mentioned.
The theater in this is just incredible. Even though it was on Zoom, well, in the later one, Tony Busby was on Zoom. Rusty was actually in court with his staff, et cetera. The theater in it is just great. By the way, there's another hearing at 4 p.m. He has a press conference at 2 p.m. and another hearing at 4 p.m. So, you know, they keep angling and posturing for their side.
And it'll be interesting to see what happens. We got you covered here on Sports Radio 610 downtown lit. I was at the yard yesterday, the juice box, one of the best regular season environments that I can remember. Quite honestly, the last time I remember a regular season game that loud post Astrodome was when Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans in his rookie year, the assing of the Tennessee Titans. I think they put half a hundred on him. Yep. Dylan Cole pick six into the end zone. That's the last time I can recall during a post Astrodome, a regular season game that loud. And I'll be damned if Deshaun Watson still has the buzz going downtown, but it's not, it's damn sure not for anything going on the football field that's in the courtroom, but the Stros keep doing what they do. Coming up, O.J. Simpson. Then and now, when it comes to the Deshaun Watson situation, plus the juice has some advice for Nick Caserio and who the next quarterback should be. Round the league next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.